Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, it's time to forget Liam, Hope, and Steffi on Bold and the Beautiful, because Ron Moss has quit. What the hell happened there? Hunter Tylo and Catherine Kelly Lang square off on Twitter. Days delves into a bullying storyline. What's Jerry Jacks up to on General Hospital? And Greg Rickhart writes a post about Chick-fil-A and Melissa Rees for the Huffington Post. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian, welcome.
What up?
Jamie?
Luke?
It's been quite the week, and honey boo child, Ron Moss has quit.
Parents are not cousins, so I am not the honey boo boo child. They are not even moderately related,
and
not even from the same county.
Your parents have necks, okay?
See, mm-hmm. That's so ugly, Jillian.
Is Ron Moss a smart hoe or a stupid hoe?
I'd say he's a really smart hoe, considering he's not the best actor in the world, and he starred in the number one serialized drama in the world for 25 years. So, sounds like he's pretty smart to me. In terms of him, is it smart for him to be quitting now? You know, it's a sign of the times. Brad Bell has managed to keep the Bold and the Beautiful's, you know, essential veterans kind of protected from this revolving door of contract squabbles that we've seen go on for the better part of a decade and a half with the other soaps because, you know, it was a smaller cast, has that huge overseas icing on the cake. But now, you know, one of the things that came, you know, that was mentioned in the Entertainment Weekly article that broke it, they mentioned B&B's licensing fee not being what it used to be. And I believe B&B comes up for renewal a year from now. And it's certainly, you know, they're certainly not going to get the same deal that they got last year. If they get renewed, let's just be real. If they get renewed, they're gonna slice that licensing fee. I just read in the broadcasting and cable that CBS Television Syndication or CBS Television Distribution, which handles their syndication arm, had to themselves slice their asking fee for Dr. Phil to keep it on the air to 2014. And that's the, you know, one of the top shows.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, in syndication. So it's just a hard market out there for TV. And, you know, B&B, like I said, they've pretty much kept their top tier vets away from that kind of stuff. Or if they have had to deal with that, they've managed to keep it out of the press. But we've seen signs. I mean, you know, Jack Wagner, you know, getting rid of basically an entire family there with the Maronis and Owen. So it's just a sign of the times. And, you know, I'm sure he's stacked his cash away and
he'll
get residuals for the rest of his life. And, you know, now
he can always go to Italy
and now player can come back, baby, come back.
I know.
2013, I was wrong. Tuesday on this show, so long. In fact, maybe him and Jack Wagner can team up. Baby, come back, and all I need is just a little more time to be sure what I feel. Okay, you know.
Ooh.
But Jillian, Brad.
Off key like a mug.
Brad says he has contingency plans in place, but he had expected Ron to come back and was surprised when it fell through. When you think of a contingency to play Ridge, if they were to recast, who would you like to see?
I mean, you know, everybody, you know, Ron, Brad is, you know, being smart with this. You know, he said there always could be a possibility that he didn't resign, so they, you know, plan it that way. And then when he didn't, he just had to go to plan B. So, you know, a lot of actors, I mean, it's going to be hard to see who's in that role because, I mean, Ron Moss has made that his own. But that being said, look, Peter Recco ain't got a job. Robert Kelker Kelly.
I was going to say Kelker Kelly could fill that role well.
Someone was like Ted King. I'm like, yeah, if Ridge was like 20 years younger, Ted King could play that role. But let's see. I mean, there are tons of actors. Robert Kelker Kelly, Peter Recco. Those are just the ones that I have at the top of my head.
Robert Kelker Kelly told me to tell you he ain't 60 neither.
So, well, that's true.
Jamie, you always do wishful casting. So do you have anybody in particular you'd like to see?
Yeah, from day one, I would say Robert Kelker Kelly. I mean, that's perfect. I mean, he is younger, which I don't care about stuff like that. It's soaps.
No.
I mean, I don't care about these, you know, me and Jillian go round and round whenever I'm trying to recast Victoria Newman. I don't care about these age differences when you can go away from camp and come back 40. Daytime plays fast and loose with age. Hell, Bill Horton, whenever he comes back, he gets younger every time. Bill Horton is not younger than Mike. You know, it's like he's younger than Lucas. And I'm like, ain't he supposed to be the same age as Uncle Mick and them? All, you know, them people was old when that show started. They was in their 30s and the 60s. And, you know, they keep bringing back these young Uncle Bill Horton so they can bring, you know, and Brad even mentioned that he might go a little younger. You know, let's just be real. B&B is in a position now because whether we like the Liam Hoepstefry thing or not, which I liked it in the beginning, but it's got on my nerves, but their ratings have been good. B&B is up where they need to be in 18 to 34. And so, you know, if you're an executive, if you're Brad Bell, you're like, well, look, yeah, Luke Kerr is writing these soapboxes talking about him, but my ratings were the only ones to be up when all the rest of the shows were down. So he is like, I got this. Long as I got Scott Clifton's contract settled. And, you know, Brad Bell mentioned him in the TV Guide article that he did with Michael Logan. I think that's pretty telling. You know, Michael Logan didn't even really say actors' names. He was like, so, you know, what about the Hope Liam? And Brad Bell was like, yeah, and what? Scott Liam is the new Bell lead of this show. I'm like, well, he ain't. Look, a lot of these shows, I've noticed these executives over the years try to lie. Oh, Luke Spencer is still the star of GH. When you can see that it's like, it's Jason Bourne.
Steve Burton.
You know, so, but Brad is like, and what? Look, I can't have no 60-year-old in his Speedos anymore. So, you know, I mean, they have.
Well, and for Scott Clifton's part, as you pointed out off the air, that boy is now the star of the soap, and he's just going to be sitting pretty.
ABC is over there like, what the hell? They fired him from two soaps at ABC, and he is now the star of the international hit The Bold and the Beautiful.
If The Bold and the Beautiful survives for 25 more years, it will be Scott Clifton.
Yeah.
Jacqueline McGinnis Wood and Kimberly.
I think Jackie going to shoot him the deuces because, you know, she's already booked a recurring. And look, I don't think she's going to do like her mama, TV mama, and get pregnant and then try to sue Greg Bellotti. You know. But
Let's talk about her TV mama because Catherine Kelly Lang and Hunter Tylo had a dust up on Twitter this whole thing, in part because a fan tweeted Catherine Kelly Lang saying that Hunter Tylo's fans like to spread rumors, and it was a Catherine Kelly Lang fan.
Look at all these rumors. What's the song, Jamie? Sing it. Look at all these rumors.
Gotta be every day.
What?
Sometime to tweet away.
Look,
Catherine Kelly Lang said she was a G. I'm like, I thought the only black chick on The Bold and the Beautiful was Crystal and Lloyd. Catherine Kelly Lang was like,
no, bitch.
Look, I want to know. I had already said I was going to. Damn it, I forgot. I'm supposed to be pantomiming. But, oh, Lord, I was reading them, and I started acting out the parts of the Twitter. You know, it's like, okay, here goes the fan. HT fans love to spread vicious rumors, gossip about you, and she does nothing to stop them. Ignore the haters. Catherine Kelly Lang is like, why would she want to do that?
Hunter, why don't you talk to me? And then here come Hunter. Yes, about what? And then Hunter was like, what Bold Lover said, not true. Don't get caught up in the chaos. We have enough to deal with, right? We're all on the same team. Smiley face.
And then you could just envision one of them shanking the other one with a knife in the set.
No, I'm going to tell you, Mark H. Soaps, who I love him, is a really cool little cat, that Mark H. Soaps. He tweeted Catherine Kelly, it was too late, Mark. I already have screen capped him. He tweeted Catherine, like, maybe you should stop doing this on Twitter. And she was like, you're right. I better get off of here before I say something. I'm like, girl, too late. Me and Snippin' too.
I'm serious. Oh.
Get up, girl. I'm like, I'm sorry. Look, you said it. Hey, these actors going to have to learn. You on Twitter? Look, Alec, if Deadline Hollywood is making posts about Rupert Murdoch endorsing Mitt Romney's VP pick, if every journalist real, because, you know, they don't consider us real journalists, if every real journalist
speak
in the game...
My mother has a bill from college that begs to differ.
I said they don't consider. I didn't say it wasn't the truth.
I was fitting to say, my mama has a bill from college that she already paid to tell me the difference.
Right. And if I didn't have the bill for the college degree, what I broke it proves that. But, you know, no, it's a situation where, because, you know, there's people hating, like, oh, my God, they're getting stuff off of Twitter. Well, tell that to the New York Times and everybody else that makes
bottom line, keep your ass off of Twitter. If you don't want people to snip and tuck, nip and tuck, whatever, what you do.
Like
keep
everyone is doing this now because it is news. When Alec Baldwin had a meltdown on Twitter, guess what? It was everywhere. So, yeah, I'm sorry. They posted it, and I posted it, too. And they didn't take it down. I, having been crazy on Twitter before, I mean, just a few times, not too many. But when you really regret what you've done, you take it down. You know, if when you go, ooh, I shouldn't have said that, you go ahead and you take it down. But, you know, Catherine was like, I ain't never scared. I didn't say what I meant to say, and I'm going to bed. You know, and then she was still talking about it like the next day or so. You know, she was, somebody said something else, you know, because I had to, because people in our comments were like, this doesn't seem like an argument to me. I'm like, what part of, Hunter, why don't you say it to me? Don't, it's not an argument, people. Look, you know, because people are like, oh, I can't believe Catherine would just go off of someone's tweet. Obviously, there's already some kind of beef there. Because if you're civil with someone and you have a misunderstanding, I'm not going to go off on Luke or Jillian on Twitter and be like, what's going on? Because something Arita says, obviously there was already some kind of bad blood there, and it just made its way onto Twitter. And, you know, I mean, and this is the thing about these fan bases. There is no, how do I say this? There is not a lot of accolades for being a soap star in Hollywood. Let's just be real. The rest of Hollywood looks down on them. So, yeah, when you, a lot, you know, and some actors don't feed into it, some do. You know, I see some actors that, you know, are like, look, I'm going to cash a check. I ain't trying to be all up on here trying to build these fiefdoms. But some do encourage. And I've noticed that those Bell soaps tend to have a lot of people who encourage these fan base wars and stuff. And I ain't saying those two are doing it, but. You know, I will say that I've heard from several people that at least one of them will get into chat sessions and stuff and just really, you know, show out with her fans about what she wants story-wise and stuff like that.
Or doesn't want.
Yeah, you run a when you do stuff like that because you don't know these people. They could be crazy as a Betsy bug
I've
and not
heard.
Send them off half-cocked against your co-star. You bitch. You're the reason my favorite actress does not have a storyline. So, I mean, you know, you got to watch that kind of stuff because you don't know what mindset these people are in.
I've seen it and I've heard of, you know, of certain actors on some of them Bell shows. Not only the actresses, the actors too, that inflame stuff. And then when it gets out of control, they want to act like my name is Les and I'm in this mess. It's like, look, just do your job and keep it moving.
Well, pulling things a bit back to Ron Moss's contract negotiations, on a slightly unrelated topic, but Nancy Lee Grahn, who is a Twitter, a fan of Twitter herself.
What a fool. Let's just put it out there.
She wrote something that she made a point. I mean, she says there's a great disparity between the dollars of a few lucky actors on daytime and the rest of us. That few makes a lot more being asked to take cuts like the rest. Fair choice if actor says no, but understand that sympathy for said actor is superfluous.
Superfluous!
I couldn't say it. Superfluous. They are still making three quarters more than the rest. Which, considering the fact that YNR, GH, and various other ones have had contract negotiations where people who are getting paid significantly more than others. What are your thoughts, Jamie?
Look here. I believe... I am not the one for that discussion. I feel that I believe in this industry, everybody, you know, should be taking pay cuts. I am not one of these people that believe everybody should be making the same money. If you Diana Ross, you need to make a little more than them other two Supremes because you're bringing everybody to the yard. That's just the way life works. I'm sorry. Whether it be McDonald's or Microsoft, if you fry the most fries and you making the best Big Macs, well, damn it, you ought to make 50 cents more than that other person who is over there bagging up folks' sandwiches. And look, the $1,000 sauce is all spilled out into the bag. And, you know, you shouldn't make as much. I'm sorry. Now, that being said, I think Nancy Lee should be. If it was me running GH, Nancy Lee would be one of the highest paid. But this is a very ageist industry. And Peter Reckle, in his exit interview today from Days of Our Lives with Stephanie Sloan for Digest, he summed up the real deal Holyfield, and I was so glad to see somebody have that point of reference where he was like, you know, when I came into this game, it was a lot of older cats who had been the stars who had to step aside. And I saw that that was like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not directly quoting him, but he was like, look, I could tell that ruffled feathers. And I'm sure it did, because, you know, It's just a sign of the times. In the 70s, Days was about Doug and Julie. In the 80s, it was about Bo and Hope. In the 90s, it was about Sean and Belle. And now in the 2000s...
Sammy.
Yeah. But anyway, my point is, it moves. And, you know, at B&B especially, come on now, Brad Bell and his daddy before him kept it about Ridge, Brooke, and Taylor for, out of the 25 years... 24 of them were about Ridge, Brooke, and Taylor. So most of them.
Well, yeah, because as recently as a couple years ago, I mean, even Hope's storyline ended up being about Brooke because Brooke slept with her son's girlfriend.
And then they did the whole Ridge and Bridget. They've tried
Brooke
everything
slept
they
with
could.
Her son's
to,
girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, Brooke slept with
her son's girlfriend?
Her daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm like, huh? Brooke by? When I
well,
miss that?
You know that look, that would have been a whole new fan base.
Well, I was thinking with Ridge gone, you know, Brooke could try that side of things.
Strictly Dickly, let it be known, Brooke Lowe.
She might like Kitty Chow.
Heterosexual.
Kitty Chow. Nope.
No, I enjoy the Brooke fantasy that she is the most heterosexually charged woman in the world. She can't help herself.
Her and Sharon Newman could end up together.
She just loves dick. Oh, no. Sharon.
Brooke is a smart hoe.
Yeah, Sharon ain't never created belief. She just created a yeast infection in herself. But, no, you know, Brad Bell has been smart in that he has firmly established his next generation. We've been talking about it. Not fans of these stories anymore. There's no depth to them. You know, these people are about nothing other than dating each other and marrying each other. You know, Liam.
I know Liam and Hope are already getting married again, supposedly. And this time Hope's fantasy wedding is at Eric and Stephanie.
I'm like, I love you, Brad, but I'm fucking done with this fucking soap opera until they stop this bullshit. And that's all I can now not cuss because that's my moratorium for the rest of the show. So if I get really mad about any other soap, I'm done. But I'm like, That is stupid. It's stupid. Back in the day, you know, don't even compare this to Ridgebrook Taylor, because they had lives outside of marrying freaking each other. It's so insipid and stupid. And I'm like, yeah, you've set it up in that you have three likable actors in these parts, but write better stories for them. This has gotten ridiculous. Brooke used to care about Forrester Creations. She didn't just care about marrying Ridge. You know, that's all.
Oh, no. All she cares about now is her daughter's daughter's husband's dick.
You're missing my point. I'm talking.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
These three are supposed to be a template from those three, the great three, the great triangle. Add some depth. You know, there was Ridge managed to struggle with his brother for Forrester. Do we even know if Liam knows how to use Microsoft Word? He's a publishing Sheon, and all he does is go to work in puka shell necklaces and I mean, there's no way you could come in a publishing dynasty dressed like he. I can't take him seriously. And
well, to be fair, Bill Spencer doesn't look like a publishing magnate either.
But he does. He spends a lot of money. He's the male Dolly Parton. He thinks he's dressed up at least. You know, this boy goes to work looking like somebody who's supposed to bag my groceries, and these two girls. I mean. You know, Hope comes back, oh, I'm going to have a fashion show tomorrow. They used to deal with these lines on Forrester for months and months. I mean, you really believed the Brooke bedroom line was real after all the work they put into it. Now, none of that matters. There's no story on this show except these three people talking about being with the other one and their parents and their sisters and their brothers. If I was Rick and my little sister, I'd be like, girl, I don't give a damn about you and that boy. Would you get out of my face?
I can see Rick looking out for his little sister, but if I were Rick, I'm what? Surprised Rick isn't like, girl, grow up and move on. Either grow a pair or move on.
Talking about it every day, that's all them talk about. Eric and Stephanie, I wonder what's going on with Liam and Hope. Yeah, everybody, Sally gonna come back from the dead to weigh in on this. It's like, enough.
Someone gonna come from that basement and be like, Dad, what's up with Liam, Steffi, and Hope?
Felicia will get cancer again, and all she'll care about is whether or not Liam's boinking Steffi.
Felicia can't be at my wedding because she has cancer. I cannot let this day be the day, Liam. Don't make me make that day the day. I'm like, girl, would you go run outside and let Marcus text and drive and run over you and then Steffi and Liam? Because I'm sick. If these are to be the three that we're supposed to watch on this show, then dog blasted write better stories for them. Watch Gossip Freaking Girl. They have loved
the first seasons.
And the last one was better than what we've seen on B&B. The worst season of Gossip Girl is better than this. You know, they work. They go. I mean, they're glamorous. They're glitzy. But they have jobs. They do other stuff. Besides, talk about marrying each other every week. I'm like, why don't they just become sister wives? And, you know, let Ellen Wheeler.
Oh, it's going to happen. You know,
become Mormons. And then they can just marry each other. It's like, good.
You know, I really thought with the B storyline with Brad, I thought we were going to be set up with this whole Daisy, with this Marcus Daisy Thomas storyline. But once again, Brad has just lost interest. It's like Brad is not taking
Thomas
his middle.
Thomas is going back after Hope, child.
Yes! That's what I'm saying. Caroline. That's what I'm saying. It's like ridiculous.
Back with Hope. And, you know, I'm like... It's like, I don't even have the energy. It's like, Dina Higley didn't write this bad. And it's, No, she didn't. At least you could yell at this. At least there were four or five bad stories on Days, as opposed to
the Santees.
She didn't do the Santees!
That was my
She didn't do the Santees! Back him alone!
What is the other One Life to Live one that I'm thinking of there?
I don't know. She didn't do the Santees. She did the down low politician who was.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Wasn't she the one who did Natalie, John, and Evangeline? Wasn't that her?
She did that. I also believe.
That was hot! That was hot!
Dina did that Margaret Cochran foolishness on.
Oh yeah, she raped Todd.
You know,
and she was the one who did the Christian Evangeline Todd thing too, I believe, and that was hot too.
But so, her writers were saving her bootay. But yeah, but I'm just making a point. That's somebody we consider bad. It's like Brad Miller's a great guy, but he's writing a bad soap opera, and that has to be said.
Megan McTavish.
He's writing a really bad, stupid soap opera. I went from loving these people, because I liked all three for a while ago, and now I'm like, I could care less. I do not believe that all Stephanie Forrester Jr. has in her life, her only desire is to marry that boy. You need to explain to me that he has the penis of Milton Berle before I believe that. It's like, what? Ugh. Move on with this story, Brad. Let it go. That's all they talk about. And that poor Kimberly Matula, I know when they yell cut, she goes, I mean, it's obscenity. She's probably like, freak me in my freaking freak. I mean, come on. You cannot believe that these lines are good. Liam, don't make me believe that that day was the day when you were supposed to be rushing back to marry me. You were making out. How do you even say that like an adult? There's supposed to be three adults. No grown woman would say making out about your husband cheating on you.
On that note, we're going to move on to The Young and the Restless, where Kevin Schmidt, also on Twitter, Catherine Kelly Lang, Hunter Tylo, Kevin Schmidt went and tweeted the official YNR Twitter profile. How many times are you going to try and bring in a new Noah, in quotes? There's only one. Sorry to those who watch for me. Pound peace at CBS.
Which you so
well, you is he the first victim of Jill Farren Phelps?
Okay, I didn't hear nothing because... I mean, I feel bad for this kid because, you know, before he was doing a lot of stuff, so he couldn't commit to YNR, and they cut him loose. Then they brought in that other kid. And then that other kid, I heard that he wanted big money, big, big money, and YNR was like, get the hell out of here. You ain't no Braden kid. So they brought this guy back, and they wasted him. It's like, why are you wasting, like, either you bring Noah back or kill him off, shit. Maybe killing him off will make Sharon sober up or something. Like, what is the point?
I want them to bring on this boy. I'm going to look his name up because I'm doing a wishful casting post. I wouldn't be surprised if Jill is already thinking about it. It's a dude that is on her show, Hollywood Heights.
James Franco.
Girl, child of mine. You better hush. No.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. I'm trying to see. It's the best friends. Okay, the little best friend is Ashley. So what is her brother's name? No, Melissa. Okay, that's the character's name. Okay, Melissa Sanders. So it would have to be somebody Sanders. What the boy name? I'm going to find it. Okay, he plays Phil Sanders on freaking Mean
Hollywood Heights.
His real name is Robert Adamson. He looks like Joshua Morrow's little brother slash twin. He's 27. It could work. I'm like, look, Josh, we'll just have to deal. They look like, he looks like he could be related to Josh Morrow. Bring him on. Bring on a man, Noah. You know, and he, you know, he plays the bad boy on that show. He's really good. His little sex scenes are good. You believe it. You believe he's really about to plow the girl. And if he's, you know, if Noah's going to be straight, we need to believe he's going to plow the girl. You know, they decided not to make him gay. I'm sorry, I don't buy Kevin Schmidt plowing the girl. So I need somebody who can plow the girl. So, you know.
What is with you and plowing, dude?
Noah should be a young hunk like his dad was, not... I want to go play music with Devon. And I mean, write him and Devon a love story because
maybe Noah is not a hoe because he's seen what Hohen has done with his family life.
Pouring on a soap opera. We need young people shirtless and screwing on these shows, not walking around. All Summer came back to do is talk fast to Phyllis. And I'm just ready for Phyllis to go
run over.
You know, because that's what who needed. She was screaming at her mama today. I was like, look, girl, I'd have slapped my thigh. Look, girl, sit down.
Phyllis should feed her peanut butter and be like, look, bitch.
Sure you want a peanut butter sandwich, you little bitch, now, apple.
And hold that EpiPen away from her.
They need to get, look, since, might as well just use Hollywood Heights to handle this situation. Bring on Brittany Underwood as Summer.
Oh, no, replace Eden with Brittany Underwood.
Luke, if you're trying to fix Y&R, you're trying to make us...
I hate that Eden.
And you
character.
Get rid of Eden. She had to go to the ashram.
I know, but they won't get rid of her. So if they're going to recast her with someone good.
We don't know what they're going to do yet. So
yeah, Bria is gone. She is ghost. She is in the south of France crying.
No, she's not. She is in Italy.
Well, she in Italy crying on Facebook. Oh my God. I just can't believe they forced me out. So, you know, that was my Catherine Kelly. I done mixed up my Maria. But anyway, we need to get that young adult scene look like we're running it.
Let's face it. They've had good young adult scenes. I mean, what is it called? The Abbott House. What was that called?
Make me sing Mary Mary in here. Past behind me. Present look pleasant. Future the bomb. Far beyond we had. Maria is gone. Let's just get some sage in here. Don't be used to. They're gonna do a new thing.
Steve
at Sony, a man, is gonna bring about a new thing. He got some.
Wait a minute. Do you mean the Glow by Jabot kids? Is that what you're referring
to? Yes, they've had good teams.
The Abbott House.
They've had good kids.
That was 10
lines before
years ago. Yeah, of course. Yeah, they haven't had any good teen story since Maria took over, except Abby. Abby was good. You know, the Abby has been good. But
well, let's talk about someone
Abby
else.
Abby ain't no teen. Abby must be 45, shit.
She is basically like, you know. Abby.
Marcy Pilot is the next Adrian Franz.
Yeah, Adrian Franz is, I was just jinx because that's where I was going. Abby is the perennial teenager.
Let's talk about someone else on Y&R, and that is Christoph St. John. Who
we should just rename this podcast Social Media Confidential.
Who apparently isn't too... I'm just not sure what to say about Christoph, because he's pretty much screwed no matter what he says after the Buzzworthy interview, because he was backburnered for so long, and basically,
it was an odd time, you know. I'm proud of Christoph, because Christoph didn't speak out for years. Look, while Victoria was like, and even back when Vicky was on that show and she was talking, you know, he just knew that the dang PR people used to just want to slap their thigh at Vicky, because it'd be like a group interview. I remember they were on that soap talk one time. You know,
yes!
Lisa Rinna mess. You know, Lisa Rinna, you don't be thinking you finna get no hard-headed question from Lisa Rinna. And Vicky took it real. Any chance she got, she was finna make it real. And, you know, Christoph was kind of like, you stop showing up. Nigga, stop showing up in public. You know, and now he kind of sees, it's like, look, maybe I should have been fighting right alongside Sister Girl.
You know, I feel bad for him. I'm going to be honest here. I feel bad for Christoph, but I don't feel bad enough. It was like when that chick was trying to start a revolution, you was there. You don't say nothing, Vicky. No, let me stop here before people get mad. But you know, you didn't want to say not a nin, not a nan on that show. Now that you got your behind back burner, earned, they show Jeff and Gloria more than they show Neil's ass. And he is all contract. Now you want to knuck if you buck. And then Maria was like, oh, say you did you? And backburning your backside. So, I mean, I feel bad for him because,
you know what? As we've said before, though, it's a double standard, though.
Yeah.
Because Eric Braden, Eric is the star, quote unquote. But the ratings been going down no matter what. So who is the star? I'm the star, because, you know, ain't nobody bringing in the ratings like they used to. So while, you know, Eric says whatever he wants, Jeannie Cooper says whatever she wants, you know, and they didn't leave the screen for 6 months, you know. So I feel his frustration, and, you know, my thing, I guess I'd be a little more savvy with mine, because the thing of it is,
fans can save somebody's job. It showed with Rebecca Herbst. But if you look back, Rebecca Herbst was radio silent during all that. She was not on there stoking nobody to do nothing for her.
And she was saved.
And she was saved just because of the fan fervor. Like, if it was me and I was an actor on this show, I would be like, you know, first day Jill was on set, I'd probably send that heifer a gift basket. You know.
Well, and Melody Thomas Scott in some respects, because didn't she recently tweet something about the fact that she may need the support of fans again, who she was crediting for her previous return?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean,
yeah, I saw that tweet, you know.
I mean, and so it's not just necessarily Rebecca Herbst, but I mean, there's a way to activate fans intelligently or smartly, and then there's a way to not.
Melody has power clout on that show, though, because she knows. The young, when people think of The Young and the Restless, they think of Victor and Nikki. And, you know, no matter what all the rest of them say, for the rest of the years of that show, you know, back home people will be like, cut the TV out because Victor, Nikki, and them finna come on.
Right, Victor, Nikki, Jack, and Kay. You know. Even though Kay is older than dirt, they still think of Kay.
Mrs. Chancellor.
And as my aunt says, Mrs. Chancellor been old since that show began. She has, because when you look back at those clips, Kay was old and trying to beg that man to stay in. But, you know,
that's why I feel sorry for, this is the part where I feel sorry for Christoph, is because Eric can do a media blitz like nobody's business. Whoever his PR person is, you earn your money, honey. He does a media blitz and he gets picked up everywhere, and then you see Sony and CBS kowtowing towards Eric. When Christoph St. John does it, Christoph gets that ass smacked. But my thing is, I don't think Christoph goes to the right people. I'm not dissing outlets that he's gone to, but me personally, I would be going to Ebony, I'd be going to Essence, I'd be going to Jet. Hell, I'd go to Blacktail Magazine and all the
you would go to Blacktail, Jillian.
I would go everywhere so I could hear the story.
Girl, if I see Victor around doing an article in Blacktail Magazine.
I didn't say Vicky.
But you know, she's the one who'll do it because Vicky is media savvy. Look, it'll be a cover story.
No. I don't think Vicky would do
that. The plight of the black soap actress.
I don't think Vicky would do that. I think Vicky would be like, no. But I'm saying, like, no, seriously. Christoph just needs to pick better.
I'm looking up pictures of these. I'm looking up what this magazine is because I've never heard of it.
Look, you better get off of that phone before somebody come in and catch you.
This is... Oh, my God.
Christoph is delivering Hilltop Tail Magazine for the first time. A moment of silence. Let's just have a moment of silence.
But, my innocence has been taken.
I've never seen a G-string in the place like that, have you? Baby got back.
You get what I'm saying. Stomp just needs to pick better places to do things. You know what I mean?
How in the hell am I supposed to transition the Blacktail Magazine into Chick-fil-A?
Speaking of shaking your tail feather, I just did a transition for you. Thank you. There you go.
My podcast is Blacktail. Jillian wins.
This podcast is totally being named Blacktail.
It's Blacktail. You need to do an interview with Blacktail Magazine.
Well, Christoph St. John is doing an interview with Blacktail Magazine. Craig Rickard was writing a post about Melissa Reese for the Huffington Post.
Okay, so Rob, now talking about serious
magazine too.
On the Chick-fil-A controversy. And in it he said, whether grown-up bullies like Dan Cathy and Melissa Reeves realize it or not, they are directly or indirectly telling these vulnerable kids that there's something wrong with them, or they are somehow less than.
Wait a minute. You know what?
Truth.
Wait. Jesus, because this is a serious topic, and we commend you, Greg Ricard, but I just do have to point out that I bet you the models for Black Tail eat at Chick-fil-A to get them booty shaking like that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Black Tail's fried chicken. Boy, if we're going to talk about stereotypes there.
No, on the real, Greg Rickard should be commended for being, you know, not just Greg. There have been, you know, Nancy Lee Grand, Farrah Fath, Brandon Barash, Lauren Coslow.
Kristen Alfonso.
Alfonso. Eric Valdez had his no hate picture up the other day. It's a lot of these cats out there who aren't getting the recognition. They are. I'm so proud of this daytime community for standing up for what's right and what's not okay, which is bigotry cloaked in freedom of
speech. Hallelujah!
This is about, that mess is about freedom of speech the same way slavery was about states' rights. And I'm proud of Greg for doing that. It just was a bad fact that this had to be on the outline after Jillian said that Kristoff had to be in the Black Tail magazine.
No, but,
well, here's the question.
But seriously, like, you know, everybody's wondering, you know, you know, see, this is what kills me. I mean, I understand that Melissa's exercising her freedom of speech. You know, she's exercising her freedom to block, too. But you notice in that article, Greg said that she blocked him. And I'm like, I could see if he was like, you all tramp home, Melissa. I'd be like, okay, Greg, she deserves, she need to block your backside.
Most
but
people who are doing that deserve to be blocked. But yeah. Everyone who asked her a very polite question got blocked, too, you know. Everybody getting blocked that don't come to talk about Jesus and going to Nashville and singing songs around the campfire because, you know, yeah, I didn't follow Melissa before, but yeah, I be looking
me
on
either.
The, I be looking and, you know, mm-hmm. This is what she be talking about. At the Bluebird with Scott, singing away. These are sweet times. Yeah, so what? I just ignited a shitstorm with my bigotry, but I'm in now my man is singing She's My Tennessee. Ain't you from Jersey? Quit trying to act like you some Southern fried Christian. Ain't you from Jersey, Melissa Reeves? I remember on Santa Barbara, they could never get your accent right because you sounded like the women from the Jersey Shore. Now you,
shut up, are you serious?
Yes, it was so thick you could Black Tail! But, yeah, now she out here. You ain't no Southern. I'm sitting here with Lair Man. You know, she call her child Lair Man. I'm like, y'all people act crazy as hell. And then the daughter, bless her heart, you know, her every other tree. What well, the other day, and I ain't trying to make fun of these kids, but she wrote, I want to be just wickedly on fire for God. And I'm like, what does that mean? What, you going to be stepping in some flames? And I'm like, look at here. Let me get off of here because crazy Christians scare me because, you know, I don't see too much of what can happen with that. And, you know, all I will say is there's been a lot of evil done on this earth in the name of all religions. And Christianity is no slacker in that. And I'm raised Christian and I am a Christian. But don't act like we are so much more better than everyone else because we go to Tennessee and talk like this. And, you know, we eat chicken with our family.
And we drink our Monavi with the tea.
You know, get out of that mess. But, yeah. Freedom of speech, freedom to block.
And Days of Our Lives has a bullying storyline that is going to be involving Sonny. The question of whether or not it's because he enjoys Black Tail is an entirely different topic.
No.
What do you guys think of the fact that Sonny's going to be involved in a bullying storyline at the same time, Jamie, that, I mean, Will, you told me before the podcast, is going to be mixing it up with a girl?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be the same time, but, you know, because that's...
Well, I know, but it's all in the future coming down the pipe.
Right, yeah.
I just found that mess out today, and I'm like, okay, really, Gary Tomlin, your first move after coming back is to make the gay kid screw a woman? I'm like,
what? Well, he wants to make sure Will gets his only child, I suppose.
Does he sounds like Franz, our lesbians are hotter. What's the other one? What's the other fool name? Chuck Pratt, too, with that mess.
In real life, I know plenty of gay people who it took years to figure stuff out. Even after they professed to be gay, they'd still sleep with women. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that that happens. But in daytime, which is a fictionalized version of real life, where gay viewers never get a gay storyline that is satisfying and actually you get to see the gay character have a normal gay life, a gay love life. It's really annoying when they do this kind of stuff. It's like, we already saw this with Stephen Carrington on Dynasty. Have we really not gone any further than to always have to? I mean, we already went through the prerequisite banging of Gabby. Like, or did they screw the first time? I don't even know. But it's like, why would they have them screw now? Why would you come back when you're rebooting a show and make your gay character that's gotten all this buzz screw this loathed teen character that no one likes? I'm like, why would he sleep with her? You know, I mean, what you're going to, you know, he's been, you know, he's been wanting EJ to put him in an outfit like the ones those women wear on Blacktail for the last 6 months. And now he's all of a sudden going to just screw Gabby? I mean, what? Does he get turned on when he finds out Gabby orchestrated Melanie's kidnapping? That just makes him decide, ooh, I want some of that vajayjay. I just don't understand why that would happen. But as for the bullying story, another one that I'm like, I'm going to wait and see because I don't want to judge this team prematurely. But I'm like, really? Again, been there, done that. We already saw, you know, the little black chick on Passions get beat up because she was gay. We already saw, you know, Lucas come out on General Hospital, promptly get his ass kicked, and then get ridden off. It's like, there's more to gay life than coming out and getting your ass whooped because you're gay. There's a whole lot. I mean, you want to be stereotypical, let's make Will an interior designer and start making them sets finally look good.
And rolling his neck at Kate and saying, I know you ain't wearing that feather in your hair, meemaw, or something.
You know, I'm like, let's make him fabulous. Can we get a fabulous gay kid in soaps? You know?
I don't mind that they're doing the bullying thing because it's kind of timely with the climate of today. I don't mind that at all. The thing I'm just like is, you know, don't you know when you're born that you're gay? It's like, why are you going to bang Gabby? Are you just going to be like, I'm a man, and just bang that silly heifer or something just to prove that you're straight or something, or that you can quote unquote go back? I don't like that at all. I don't mind the bullying thing because we need, you know, this is timely, and, you know, they're sending out a message for gay teens that it's not all right to be, you know, picked on or beat up on because who you love or whatever. I don't mind that at all. It's just the Gabby thing. It's like, once again, a new regime is trying to make that bitch relevant. And
oh,
it's like,
okay. You know, I'm reading the spoiler on soapoperafan.com, which is where I was tweeted that this came from. And okay, so apparently this T is back, you know, and he is mad that Will is gay, and he blames Sonny, and then Sonny and Will end up kissing, and that's when Will is like, look at her, I don't like you like that. And then Sonny tells him he's a closet case. Then Will goes over to Marlena's, and she tosses her hair and goes, And then,
do you think she'd mew on the cover of Blacktail?
She'd do a lot more than mewing if she had to get in Blacktail.
Well, she'd just be white chocolate.
Oh, well, I believe her and Drake could get in there back in the day because, you know, they would have some. Woo! But, no, so basically the storyline sets up. He's helping Gabby move back into the pub, and they have grief sex because Lucas is telling.
If Gabby ends up pregnant, I'm going to chuck something at my TV.
I'm not happy with that either, but I'm like, why? Yeah, what about?
They're going to pause. I mean, in theory, they could have it end up where Gabby's pregnant, keep one of the most awful actors on the show around in a role that is terrible just so that Will can have had heterosexual sex once so that he can have a kid.
Well, you don't.
Oh, my fucking God.
You don't always have to keep the baby mama because Jason Morgan's mama promptly had him and promptly got killed off.
I mean, and look at, you know, Stacy on. Stacy from
Came from the dead.
But I hope they don't do that because I'll be like, man, really, Gary? Ripped from ripped from that show that died. Which I'm about to call it Another World. So, Lord, I live to live. My life to live. I can't think of your name. Sorry.
A lot of every gay storyline ever does that. Stephen Carrington had to have a baby with Sammy.
Yes.
You know, didn't the gay dude on Soap have a baby too? It's like, they always have that moment.
I never watched that show.
Oh, girl, Soap was my jam. Soap was
my time. Sorry, sweet.
Okay, Mel, they have it in reruns. Mary Tyler Moore, Mr. Ed, and Donna Reed came on before my time, too. I watched them. It's called Nick at Night.
Whatever. It's not better there, Gramps. I mean, James.
Let's talk about General Hospital a bit.
5 years, fine. Thank you.
Jillian, what do you think of Jason and Sam at the moment?
Oh, their breakup, the montage of it, it was really sweet. You know, a lot of people was like, for a popular couple, he sure as hell didn't hunch. I'm like, seriously. It was sweet, but I'm like, Sam, you karate chop that fool out of your life and you go to John and make him dry your tears, baby girl. I'm like, get from that cabin, Jason. You get. I'm happy because I'm sorry. Jason is the biggest douchebag in daytime. And that's saying something compared to he's right up there next to Victor Newman. And that's saying something.
No, I'm not going to let you put Super Jason out there like that.
Yes, he's a douche.
Until he slings Sam out the back of an ambulance.
Hell, because of him, she lost her baby, and he was like, well, we can start over now. It's like, are you serious? He's right up there with Victor. I mean, ain't nobody could beat Victor, you know, chucking that chick out of the back of an ambulance like she was a rock. Skipping rocks, but
you start missing Victor now, dang it. I'm like, where is his old mean, grumpy ass? Where you at, Eric?
I actually do miss Victor because I want him to come back to town and he gonna chuck Sharon like a rock too when he find out that she messing with his company. What a silly ass. But I don't mind it at all because I want Jason to beg, borrow, steal, walk on glass, you know, do the cabbage patch on hot coals. When he finds out what Heather has done and their baby is alive and what he put Sam through, because Jason is a douchebag. You know, on that show, a lot of people, you know, haters gonna hate on GH. That's just the way it is. Y'all just ain't happy unless y'all bitching about something. I actually like their breakup, and I like the fact that they're pointing Jason out to be a douchebag, because it's so many times that you've seen Jason done shit, and the way how Guzo would write it, Guzo would romanticize the crap that Jason would do. I'm like, this ain't romantic at all what his ass did. He didn't want her to have that baby. He wanted her to give it up. The baby died, and he was just like, you know, walk it off, girl. We can have another one and move forward. It's like, are you for real, boy? Jason needs a bullet in his ass. I want him to beg Sam to come back. You hear me? Beg, bitch.
He ain't going to have to do all that because he got another woman waiting, just waiting, you know.
Too dysfunctional.
I know you're going. Hey! Listen, run back to the arms of the one who loved you.
Come back to
her. You got to say,
Jamie,
my girl, because Ewan is sneaking around and being nasty and snatching up little Jocelyn and doing all kind of evil stuff. Doesn't snatch.
But don't you think Ewan's much more interesting now?
Oh, I do. And I actually feel that he has feelings for Liz, which I think that's a good story.
Is
I love
she paint the wind with him too. Is he gonna crack a fart and she paint the wind too?
I tell you what she ain't gonna do. She not gonna sleep with his stepdaddy on the floor of her mama's house like a wild dog.
Now she'll just
in between and not take a shower.
You know what? Stop. I have to stop because I actually have started to like Sam a little bit. You know, I know that will probably make my liaison fans cry. But now my liaison love is not so much tied to my hate of Sam. Because I, you know...
Sam and John are cute.
And not even just that. You know, it started before that, you know, with the, you know, with the Franco situation. Because I agree with everything Jillian said about how Jason has done her. Like, I'm not a Sam McCall fan at all. You know, she's started to grow on me in the last 6 months to a year. But Jason was a major douche. I'm like, there is no way in any of this is this Sam's fault. So what, she did the damn DNA test behind your back. It was your crazy brother who infiltrated your marriage and your life and raped your wife. So what? She dealt with it how she needed to. So, yeah. And I thought their breakup was very well written. You know, and yeah, I'm taking all my J-Sam versus liaison stuff out of it. I thought Kelly Monaco acted the hell out of that. If I was a fan of that, because let's be real, and this is what gets me about fandom sometimes. I never just want my favorite couples happy and boring, no matter who they are. The breakups are some of the best moments ever. Like, you know, I still remember every Bo and Hope breakup, every Cruz and Eden breakup. You know, so those are some really good scenes if you're a fan of those couples. And I thought that it was heartbreaking. But yeah, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, yep, now you're supposed to be so crushed that you go right on over there. And I hope Liz done picked up all them toys so you don't fall. Because that's the one thing about Liz's house that drives me crazy.
Dirty ass house.
My grandmama would have beat my ass if I was Cameron and Aiden and all of them, because the boys just always be all over the floor.
She got 20,000 kids. You mean to tell me she can't have them like an assembly line?
Not her fault that she is able to carry babies to term, and Sam always loses it.
I just hope Frank don't get crazy and be like, you know, it'll be a good story. Ron, what, Frank? What if we have Liz with Sonny? Jesus, I couldn't.
Oh, if that ever happens, I'm done.
She would have quads.
They already went that route with doggone
Emily,
and I think that they saw that was just too nasty.
That wasn't nasty. The chemistry just sucked.
It was still nasty.
I didn't think it was nasty. I just thought the chemistry sucked.
Jamie, there's no chemistry there. It turns into nasty.
Jamie, you've been writing General Hospital spoilers at Daytime Confidential. Can you tease us with what's coming down more down the pipe with Jerry now that we're a couple weeks into his return?
Let me look around right quick to see what's out there, because I don't want to be the first to break nothing, because you know, Luke, you bet about posting these. Used to, I'd be like, oh, it'll be 3 or 4 days from now. But I've been teasing about water.
Go chasing waterfalls.
Water is a revelation in Port Charles.
Can you get last week you gave us a hint on the upper management. Give us another one this week?
No, go to the blog.
Management about what?
Well, last week you gave us a hint on the upper management above Jerry Jacks. Can you give us another hint as to who that might be?
Go to the blog.
It's a classic GH villain. That's who it is.
And go to the blog.
That's all the hint I can give you. Jerry is working under the orders of a classic GH villain. And when I say classic, I don't mean 90s or 2000s. Or Luke, let me clarify that for Luke.
Listen, classic is anything pre-98.
Luke going to be like, Manny? No, I mean,
Manny would be a good villain, though.
I mean, when GH was getting on the cover of Times and Newsweeks and not just, you know, soapoperaspectacular.com. No, I mean back when it was,
Casey the alien, everybody.
You know, I've been calling for that. That's how I would end GH. The fans would be too mad at me because Casey would beam up everybody that I liked and the earth would explode. That'd be the last episode of GH.
No.
And this is certainly not the last episode of Daytime Confidential, but we would encourage you to comment on it.
Blacktail shut us down for unlawful usage of their terminology.
Comment on this Blacktail episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook. We thank you for listening. As always, until next time, so long.
Blacktail!
No, stop.
Stop it.
No.
Shake your black tail feather.
No, hey, toot it, no. Shut up! Toot it and boot it, Kristoff!
No, not toot it and boot it! Pick up a dollar with it! Oh, no. She finna pick up a dollar with it! Oh, no. Yeah, I've been in the club. No, I thought you don't know.
Baby got back.